Praise God. God is good. We're living in a really unique time, and we don't want to miss what God has for us. If you would turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, it might seem like I'm starting out on a particular venture this evening and that I'm going to make a sharp turn in the middle, but hopefully God's going to help me make the turn. But I just want to lay a little bit of a foundation of just some of the things of what we're dealing with now and just where we are in this time. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, I got several verses. I want to read verse 1. It says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." Now, we're not going to go through all the details, but I think we can all agree that perilous times are on their way if they're not already here. They're looking kind of scary. Down in verse 10, it says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Now, verse 14, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And that's kind of just a quick overview of that chapter. But we do see that we are in the last days, that we're in perilous times. There's a lot of things going on. Some have been affected by what's happening maybe more than others. Maybe in our area, we haven't seen quite the huge effect that in some other places you might see. But we're seeing different effects. The thing that we started seeing first was what's going on in the stores. They're starting to shrink their supplies of what they carry and dealing with all of that. We've got some places that have had to trim their budgets and lay off people from their jobs. So there's lots of different things that are going on in these perilous times. But Paul's reminding Timothy, and he can remind us, that even though you go through a lot of troubles, even though there's all kinds of problems and testings and trials and persecutions, he says, God has delivered me out of all of them. Let's see if I can do something to change how that's functioning. But God has delivered him out of all of them. And then he reminds him that we have the Holy Scriptures. We have our faith. And we need to remember that in these times, we've got to keep on. We've got to keep going because God is going to deliver us out of this. Whether the situations out here fully correct themselves or not, God is still going to deliver his people if we will be faithful to him. If we will stay in faith, stay in the scriptures, and do what God has required us to do, we're going to come through. Now let's go to James chapter 1. I know it's in here somewhere. Just a couple verses here, verses 2 through 4, and then verse 12. James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." And then down in verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Here again, just the reminder of even in times of trial, it says you've got to count it all joy. You've got to count it all joy. I don't know where to not move. I think it's just doing it on its own. But we know that in the testing and in the time of trial, that if we'll put our faith and patience to work, we'll come out complete and not lacking anything. will come out of the situation. And in the end, there'll be a crown of life. There'll be rewards for us for what we're enduring. So this is a real important time. Everybody throughout all time faces trials and things, but we're in a really unique situation being in the end of times with what's going on, that we have an opportunity to go through and overcome some extremely special trials. I can't listen to snaps and cracks and pops and think at the same time. So we're living in a special time. We're living in a time of unique trials and testings and troubles because of the day and the age that we're living in. It's more than just the everyday trials of life that come against us, but we're living in a special time. Now, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, just one other verse concerning these things. First Corinthians 10:13, we need to be reminded of this, that no temptation or trial or situation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tested beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Whatever situations we encounter in this day and age, whatever comes against us, whatever circumstances, however it looks, whatever happens, God will always make the way of escape. Always. A lot of times when things get tough and pressures come in on us and seems like maybe everything is going wrong all at once and just stuff is happening and it's just bad news everywhere. And it's not only bad news in your life, it's bad news in your neighbor's life. It's bad news in the family's lives. Everybody's got troubles. Everybody's hurting. But there is a way of escape, and it is not more than you can bear. And when you think of how bad situations can get, but God says it's never going to be more than you can handle. There's always going to be a way out. And we need to remember that. Testing is an opportunity that challenges you to demonstrate your potential and your maturity. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Sometimes we don't really want to know what our potential is. Sometimes we know what our potential is, and we really don't want to be pushed to have to reach it. Because reaching your potential means you are pushing the limits. You're pushing beyond where you are, because wherever you are right now, you can go farther. You have not reached your max. Nobody has. Nobody. Jesus didn't even reach his max. He was really great. He was really perfect. He did everything exactly right. He did all kinds of wonderful things. But he said, when I go, you're going to do even more because there's more to do. You'd never reach your max. So it's an opportunity to demonstrate your potential and maturity. And in this day and age, this is what we have got to be doing. We have got to step up and demonstrate our potential and maturity in the things of God. I believe it was John Maxwell said that God wants to see if we're willing to step out and face the test. Well, as far as I'm concerned, God already knows. He knows before we know, but it's an opportunity for us to locate ourselves, to really find out what we're all about. You know, we can kind of slide through situations, you know, and everybody has bumps in the road, and everybody has struggles and stuff that happens, but if things in society begin to crumble and crush on top of the regular bad stuff that just happens in life, things can get a little tough. And God knows what we're able to handle, but we need to know. We need to, and you know something? You will never, ever know what you are capable of doing until you do it. You will never, I mean, we can by faith say I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but until you're put to the test and have to put that into operation, you're not going to experience it. You're not going to know that, yes, I really can. This isn't just a faith statement. I can actually do this. I can actually do this. So it helps us to locate ourselves. And there's three things that times of testing and trial can reveal in us. The first one is inward poverty. Inward poverty is I can't. You know, a lot of times when we meet a tough situation,
I just can't handle this. I just can't do this anymore. I can't take one more thing. All those I can'ts. It'll reveal that when tough times come. It shows if that's what's on the inside, and if that's what's in there, well, then we got some work to do. We need to correct that. The next thing is it can show an inward plateau. That can be stagnancy. And that's just sort of like, well, whatever. Life stinks, so it's just the way it is. There's a lot of people that go through life that way. There are a lot of Christians that go through life that way, that really don't know that there's a way out of their circumstances, that don't know there's a way to overcome, for things to change and get better. They just look at it as, well, you know, it's just the way it is. We just have to take whatever's dished out to us. Well, it depends on who's doing the dishing. If God's dishing something out to us, yes, you need to take it. You need to do whatever God's giving you. But God isn't the one dishing out the trouble. He's not the one dishing out the trouble. And if it's the enemy, then we can overcome. We can change things. But it shows whether you're at a plateau. I mean, if you've just, sometimes that plateau is numbness. You know, you just get so numb. It's just whatever happens, and you just veg through life. You just bump from day to day and bang into the circumstances and just keep banging along, and someday you'll die and go to heaven and it'll be over with. But that's not a very good way to be. That's not what God's looking for. And the other thing that the test reveals then is if you have inward progress, and that's if you've overcome. Like I said, you can't really know in yourself that what you can deal with until you've had to deal with it. Every time you go through a really big trial and you come out on the other side and everything worked out and you've got victory and it's all good, it's like, praise God, I was able to do that. God helped me. I was able to get through that situation. This is kind of having the attitude of like David did. He had inward progress when he faced a trial. When he faced Goliath, when he got there to the battleground and saw what was happening and heard what Goliath was saying, he knew inside, he's like, I've already killed the lion and the bear. I can do this. I've got progress. I've already been through things, and God's helped me. I've overcome, so this is no big deal. I have been through stuff, and I can do it. And we need to develop in that. We need to remember what we've been through and that we can get through it instead of getting caught and stuck in the misery. Now, just a few other things about testing, because after this, we're going to shift gears here in just a minute. We all experience tests at each stage of growth. If you're growing in the Lord, there's going to come a test to that, because Jesus said, when you hear the word, the devil's going to come right away and try to steal it. That's just what he's trying to do, is to get the word out of you, because he doesn't want you to get it and to receive it and to grow it and to produce fruit with it, because it means trouble for him. It means he's not going to succeed. So when we experience the test, it's going to come at every stage of growth. There's always going to be tests. We have this utopian idea that we'll somehow get to a place where there aren't any. And it's permeating our whole political landscape right now, and it comes in the form of, we can get along with all of our enemies. We just got to be nice to them, and they'll be nice to us, and it'll be just okay. And it just doesn't work. But they're trying so hard. All around the world, they're trying so hard to just say, well, let's just all get along, and it just doesn't work. There's always going to be these tests. If you're going through a test, this is helpful for you. Your goal should be to pass. To pass the test. Passing is important on a personal level, but it's crucial on a body of Christ level for God to accomplish his will in this final outpouring, in this day that we're living in. It is very important that we pass the test, that we go through the trials and overcome in them with victory and not be overcome by them. Another thing about times of testing and trial is it always precedes promotion. Think about that. Even when you were in first or second grade or high school or college or at work, there's always some kind of a test, some way that you have to prove what you know or what you can do or what you can endure or what you can overcome and accomplish or think. You always are passing a test before a promotion, and it'll bring promotion. And we don't need to seek promotion for promotion's sake, but we should be seeking to pass the test to please God, because he will promote us if we pass. He will promote us to be able to do greater things. And this is just a little bit of a different skew, but products are always tested before they're put on the market. Whenever something is developed, then it has to be tested. It has to be put out there and tried out and see if it's really going to work. Well, God is about to put the body of Christ on the market. And we are going through some tests and some things, but with this great awakening and outpouring that we are believing God for, that he has promised is coming in these last days, he is about to put the body of Christ out there on the market to begin to show his glory in the earth. God is not going to be doing this apart from believers. It is not going to be, quote, this sovereign move where God just goes places and does stuff and there aren't believers there preaching the gospel, laying on the hands, casting out the devils, ministering to the people, you know, whatever might be needed, or meeting needs, whatever it is. God isn't going to be doing that without his body. So he's about to put us on the market. He's about to put us out there to be displayed. So we're in the test to see what we're going to be able to do so that he can put us out there, because he's got some really big stuff that he's going to be doing, and he wants to be able to do it through you and through me, through each one of us. He wants to be able to accomplish those things. Manifesting the kingdom is not just for our own life. We've been talking a lot about that, about the dominion and the kingdom of God and taking charge. And it's got to start in us. It's got to start there. We've got to start taking dominion in our own life, in our own heart, in correcting the things that don't line up with God, in growing and developing in God. But it's more important than just for our own life. It's for the benefit of others. We have got to learn how to take dominion for the benefit of other people, because the devil is out there racking people with sickness and disease and torment and trouble and lack and just all kinds of situations in their life. And we need to be able to manifest the kingdom of God for their benefit, so that they can see that God is real, that there is power in serving God, and it's not just this real cute thing where you go to church every Sunday and sing a few songs and listen to some guy talk. You know, it's life-changing. It is life. It's being able to overcome in the circumstances. And there's circumstances that need to be overcome. So we need to manifest the kingdom. We need to be ready to be put on the market. So this time of testing, the stuff that's going on, this is all for our benefit. This is all a great opportunity for us to show how much Jesus we have on the inside of us, how much we're willing to obey and to walk in obedience to what God tells us to do, how much we're willing to actually give what we have to others. We sang the verse tonight of, you know, once I'm filled up, I know it's to be emptied again. Well, you could read that wrongly and think, well, it's just going to drain out. It's going to be sucked out of me. No, I get filled up, so I have something to give. I get filled up with the anointing and the power of the glory of God and the presence of God, so I have something to give to the world to let them know that God is real and that he loves them and he wants to save them and help them and rescue them in these last days of trouble. Okay, brace yourselves. We're shifting gears now. Hallelujah. No more test talk, okay? Maybe, sort of. A few things about this time that we're living in. I am not a numerology person. I haven't studied it, but this is what I've heard taught, that the number 10 is the number for ordinal perfection, and that the year 2010 is the year God sets up things the way he wants it. If you think about ordinal perfection, of things being put in order, put in their order, their perfect order, and that this is the year that God is setting up things the way he wants it. And you can say, well, man, this doesn't look too good. But he's working. He's changing things. There's a lot of stuff going on out there. And praise God, we want to be a part of what is going on. Amen? Now, some things, in order for the new things of God and the great outpouring of God to come, some things have to go in order for the new things to come. For God to show up in a fresh way, you have to make space for God to fill it. We talked about this a little bit on Wednesday evening. But we've got to make a place for God. We've got to make a greater place. We know that God is already in our hearts if we're born again, but we need to make him the space bigger for him to fill up as such. We need to make sure we're giving him every space we've got, not just keeping him in our Sunday place, but that he lives in the places all through the week. We're doing this in praise and worship. The message that Roxanne shared a couple weeks ago really deals with this, of making place in worship for God to come and fill the space. Our praise builds a place for his throne to come and rest, for him to dwell among his people. And it's like God lives in us, God is here, but to make a place for God to manifest, that he can come and show himself in power. And there's got to be order and things properly lined up for that to happen. Because if we're not lined up right, it can create chaos. So we got to be lined up with God. We got to be open. We got to begin to be more flexible and more pliable with God. And he's been coming and just kind of soaking his presence on us and getting us experienced with just spending some time. Maybe we're kind of, you know, in that spot of, well, how long is this going to take? Well, as long as it takes to get that little spot soft that says, how long is this going to take? You know, because God wants to move in and do things, but we've got to get rid of the clutter. As we spend time pressing into God, we're getting rid of the clutter in our souls, even in praise and worship. We got to do that in our personal life on a regular basis, but that's what we're doing even as a corporate time, that we push aside all the other stuff that screams at us all day long, and we set it aside and make room for God to fill up our thoughts, to fill up our soul, so that we can hear what he's saying. God talks all the time, but there so do we, even when our mouth isn't moving. And I didn't write it down. I forget, it's like people have like 1,800 words a minute or something that goes on in their subconscious. That is the self-talk, the stuff that is going on all the time in your head. Because it goes on while you're at work, it goes on while you're taking a bath, it goes on while you're mowing the yard, while you're at church, while you're in praise and worship. That's why we're taking time and forcing ourselves to shut that down and to get quiet so God can come and fill up that space and he can talk and we can hear what he's saying. Sometimes he just has to scream so loud because there's just so much going on. We're just so consumed in other things, and he wants to get in. He wants to fill up that void full of stuff that's swimming around up there. Here's another good point. Whatever gets your attention gets you. Oh, man, I don't like that one, because there's a lot of stuff sometimes that gets my attention. And, you know, we can look at that of people that are really caught up into sin or things that aren't quite right. But I'll tell you, whatever gets your attention gets you. I think of this, I'll relate this to golf, because you know that's where we live a lot. But I can easily get distracted by just little things. If a fly lands on you when you're trying to swing, something like that. Or if somebody is standing right here and you've got just that little tiny spot in the corner of your eye that you can see them there. Or maybe there's a tree right behind you and you've tested it and there's plenty of room to swing, but it's still there. You don't even see it, but it gets your attention and it gets you, and I'll tell you, you can just almost be guaranteed of a miss hit every time. It doesn't have to be great big things that swarm and get, it can be the slightest little thing that distracts us, that gets our attention. And we deal with that in praise and worship. You know, we're so tuned in to just the natural stuff around us that, I mean, if somebody bumps the hymnal rack, you know, and it makes a little noise, that can distract us. Or if somebody clears their throat, and don't be afraid to do those things, but we get, if it gets our attention, it's got us, and it'll take us away right away. And we don't want to get distracted by those things. We don't want to be taken away. We want God to have our full attention, because we want to be involved in what God is doing in these last days. Amen? We want to be I want to be a part of this outpouring. I hope you want to be. I don't want us to be sitting in here on Sunday mornings going through church and God pouring himself out in some other place. I mean, he's welcome to pour himself out everywhere, but man, I do not want him not pouring out here. That would be just the greatest failure in all the world. I want to be a part of what is going on. And it means we're going to have to get through the tests. We're going to have to overcome. We're going to have to move into the, make room for the things of God so that we can step up for this outpouring, so that we can be put out on the market. Praise God. The presence of God is a major key to practical fulfillment. Having the presence of God in your life is a major key to passing the tests and overcoming. Is having the presence of God. I mean, we have the initial presence, but we want manifested presence, big presence, where God's ability is on our ability, where his ability is on our thinking, on our acting, on our believing, whatever we have, where God is infusing us big time with his presence so that we can pass the test, so that we can function, so that we can be a benefit in the world to the people around us. I mean, we can just judge for ourselves, you know, of how much the presence of God is making a difference in other people's lives that's coming out of us. I mean, you know, just think about it at work or at school or in the grocery store or in your groups and clubs or family gatherings or whatever. You know, how much of God is oozing out of us to the point that it affects other people? But the presence of God is a major key to practical fulfillment, to passing tests, to overcoming, to ministering to other people. We're good. We know about believing the word and standing on the word. So we're great at telling people you need to believe the word. You need to stand on the word. And you know, we've talked about this before, but we got to be able to do something for them. They don't know how to do that yet. If they catch that, if they get that idea and they yield to God and they do that, praise the Lord. But we need to have enough presence of God flowing through us and out of us that we can do something for them that'll get their attention, that then, oh gee, you mean I could believe God and do this too? Or I could believe God and this could happen without you helping me on this. You know, we've got lots to do. So we need to learn how to develop the presence of God in our life and to bring it with us wherever we go, that we can really begin to have an impact. And that is what kingdom dominion is all about. It's what taking dominion is all about is for you to be able to take the presence of God with you to work, to school, to the reunion, to the neighbors, to the store. Wherever you go, you carry the presence of God with you and the ability of God in you to minister to people's needs. A carrier of the glory of God, that can be manifested and expressed on behalf of other people. So we've got to learn how to develop God's presence in our life so that we can take him wherever we go, so that the whole earth will be filled. God does not want there to be any question in anybody that he is real. There are a lot of people out there that don't believe in God yet, that don't know that he's real. They've heard so much stuff and been taught so many things. What was it? We heard the other day, and we even commented on it, about what people think about God, and we looked at each other and said, but that's what they've been taught. It was about a man was sharing about them miscarrying their children. And, you know, why does God do this? Or I think it was the death of his father. Why did, you know, he let his father die or something, or why did he, something to that effect. You know, why does God do that? That's always a question. And why does God do that? It's because they don't know God. They don't know about him. They've not seen his power and glory. They've only heard what people who call themselves Christians have said. Sometimes from the pulpit, sometimes from the pew. But either way, they only know what they've been told. And they don't know what's right. And God does not want those people to suffer loss because they've never really met him. Because he knows that you'd have to be a huge, huge fool or really, 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 really evil to meet up with God and reject him, to not want him. Because he's so good. He is so good. He offers life. He offers help. He offers the way out. He offers strength. He offers answers. He offers everything we need. And the outpouring of the glory is so that the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, of the presence of God. So nobody will have an excuse. Those people in Revelation that are going to be living, God's already written it down for us, but those people that are living in that time, crying out to the rocks to fall on them and to hide them from the wrath, because they can't repent anymore. They've rejected for so long. They've had the opportunity. They have had the opportunity to receive God, to know what God is like, and they've refused him. And unfortunately, they will suffer the consequences of their decision. But God wants us to be able to show him to the world, to display him to the world, so people don't have that question, so that they don't have to think, well, why does God do all these bad things? Why does God make people sick? Why does God kill babies? Why did God let my mom die? Why did God let my husband die? Why did God let this happen? Why did all... He wants to answer those questions for people. He wants them to know, I'm not the one doing this. I'm the one that can help you. I'm the one that can help. And he's going to use us. Hallelujah. We have to have a passion in worship and a passion in pleasing God. And we have to have a passion for taking tangible territory. That's dominion. We have to have a passion for things changing and lining up with the Word of God. And that takes some presence of God in us to get that passion, because we are accustomed to just living life the way it's dished out to us. We're accustomed to just accepting whatever happens when sickness or malfunction happens. That's just how it is. Or, you know, when people say, well, when you get older, you got to hurt. Or you lose your hearing. You lose your eyesight. You get aches and pains. You do this. You know, you can't move like you want. Even just in growing older, let alone all the sickness and disease and the stuff. But we're used to just taking it. And we have got to become passionate about taking tangible territory, about changing things. And, oh, man, it requires energy. It requires making room for God. And we're going to talk about some ways to make that room. But it requires making room for God to be able to do this. And it's promised that we're to be able to do it. Jesus already said, you lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You can cast out devils. You know, you can raise the dead. You know, he's told us all these things and they are all true for us. Yes, but how many of us are doing it? How much are we doing that? Praise God for the times that we do it. Praise God for the people that you've laid hands on and prayed for them and they got well. Praise God for that. Praise God for every devil you've cast out. Praise God for every situation you've overcome. But we have so much more to do. And it means making room for God in greater ways. Because, you know, we'll let God kind of have his way and we'll draw close to him for a while and really tune into him and listen, and we get all these opportunities to share with people and to minister to them, and it's really good. But then something else gets our attention and it gets us, and we get a little off track and we come back to just coming to church all the time and going through the motions and not really doing the work of God. We got to make room for God. It means that we have got to continually be making more room in our understanding and in our mind for what God says. These are all God's thoughts contained in here so that we know how he thinks and what his opinions are about things and what's right and what's wrong. We've got to always be making room in our mind, filling our mind up with that, getting rid of everything that's contrary. Everything that doesn't line up with the Word of God, we got to get rid of that, make space to fill up with the right things so that we'll have the right mindset on things, that we'll have the right knowledge and understanding. We've got to make time for God. We've got to make time in praise and worship. We've got to make time for connecting with God. We've got to make room so God can come and fill us up to overflowing. Amen. Praise God. So we got to have a passion for taking the tangible territory. We got to have a passion for changing things and not just getting through. Not just, I'm going to make it till the day I die and then I get to go to heaven. We got to have a passion to change things. And that can be a real frustrating thing sometimes, because sometimes, I'll express it from my point of view, I have a real passion to change people. But I can't change them, but I have a passion to change them. But you gotta want to. For people that want to change, that want to grow, that want to learn, oh, it's so much fun to be with people like that. Because, man, you can just pour into their lives and you can watch it change. You can watch things happen for them, and it's so exciting. But it's so frustrating when you're dealing with people that don't want to change. And don't let any of us sitting here tonight be the ones that don't want to change. We're going to be the ones that are passionate about taking territory, about becoming like Jesus, of seeing the kingdom of God manifest, not just in heaven, but now, even in the midst of all the goofiness that's going on around us, that we live in the manifested kingdom of God in our lives. Amen? Praise God. We have got to be highly separated and saturated in the presence of God. You know, when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration and the Spirit of God came down over him, and then he had that glowing emanating off of him. When Moses was up on the mountain talking to God, spent time in God's presence, he came down and the glory of God was shining off of him. And he wasn't even born again. He wasn't walking in the same covenant that we are with Jesus on the inside of us. And look what he walked in. And it made a difference. It made a difference. He was highly saturated and separated by the presence of God. And you didn't go against him, because his sister and brother tried that. They tried griping a little bit. Well, what makes him so special? We know God. We can hear God. And boom, leprosy just showed up just instantly. And leprosy isn't something that just shows up instantly, but it happened. But praise God, it didn't stay. And praise God, when all the people were being swallowed up, Moses said, go get the censer, run, go take the presence out there, take the presence of God out there. He had the presence of God in his life, and he had a passion for the people, had a passion to see things change, had a passion for things to go the way God wanted them to go. But he was saturated and separated by the presence of God. The presence of God is the believer's edge in life. The presence of God in our lives is the edge that we have with people. There's all kinds of people that can talk about God and you know, talk about, or just say things like, I'll pray for you, or just bless your heart, and can be real kind and can do nice things and help people and do good deeds, good works, that kind of thing. But the presence of God is the edge that we have. When we actually carry the presence of God, that it actually touches someone's heart. It affects them. Or when the presence of God is transferred, if they need healing and we lay hands on them and we pray for them and they get healed right then and there. Praise God for the ones that get healed later. You know, those are good too. But praise God when they can get healed instantly, because the presence of God, that is our edge. That's what gives us the advantage in this world. That's why we can succeed when nobody else seems to. Gordon and I were talking about it today. There's just been, we've just been hearing different things and stuff in the news. Of just when you think about the poverty rolls, and they talk about poverty, and he was reading some statistics on what poor people in America have as a compared with poor people in the rest of the world, and our poor people are not poor compared to poor people in the rest of the world. But it's just, if you would just look at just purely income statistics, Gordon and I are on the poverty level. If you just go by the numbers on the paper, we're at the poverty level. Maybe a little under the line, a little above the line, but close enough to the line that's what. But yet, God in our lives has made such a difference. We're not poor. Praise God, it doesn't matter what those figures are on the paper. We're blessed, and it's an element of the presence of God in our life. God has made provision for us through the years. He saw all these times coming, and he knew what would happen, and he made provision. He took care of us, and now we have everything we need. We have our home, we have our car, we don't have any debts. So even if there isn't the figures on the paper quite like you'd like to see them, we still have everything we need. It's the presence of God. It's our edge in life. It's our edge in life. We have so much more than so many other people, even when our paperwork is small. But we have so much more. It's the presence of God, and it's the believer's edge. God wants to be the edge in your life. He wants to be your edge, that no matter what circumstance you might come across, whether in your own family or in people you know, or just out in the workplace or whatever, you have the presence of God that can make a difference and that can change things. Amen. Hallelujah. This is pretty good stuff. Praise God. Well, these are some keys that just a list that I've come up with of cultivating God's presence in our life, of making room for God. Now, I know you all know this one, but I'm going to tell you anyway. The first way you got to make room for God is you got to be born again. You got to give him your heart. You got to give him the place to say, come in, Jesus, and take over my life. We all know that from Romans 10, 9 and 10. We don't even need to go there and look at that. But we got to be born again. But then we got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus told him in Acts, he said, now, you wait. You wait till the power comes on you. Don't you go anywhere without the power. Don't you go anywhere without the power. If you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to be. That's how we got baptized in the Holy Spirit. As Kenneth Copeland said, if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking other tongues, you ought to be. And just went right on with the rest of his message. It didn't have anything to do with that. And we're just left there, well, what's tongues? We didn't know. We weren't in any spirit-filled church and didn't have any knowledge. But praise God, it was enough to send us on the path. And Jesus says, don't leave town until you get the power. That's this presence of God, this manifested power. That's what enables us to be witnesses then at home and around the community and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. It's the power of God flowing out of us. So we got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The next things, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. These are all familiar, and we all know this, but it's just, maybe there'll just be a couple of them that will speak to you that is areas where you need to work on. I mean, you might already be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that, but there might be some other things that can help us beef up the presence of God in our life and stir it up. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And then if you jump over into chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open. And all of those words of asking and seeking and knocking, I didn't look this up, but I'm pretty sure they're the kind of word that means keep doing it. Don't just do it one time and say, well, I did that 3 years ago and I don't have any answers yet. Well, you just keep at it. You keep pursuing God. You keep pursuing the kingdom of God and his righteousness and being right with him. And that we have the righteousness of Jesus. He's given us that gift. But pursue what that righteousness is like. Pursue getting God's thoughts implanted into our minds and get rid of the thoughts that don't line up. Pursue that right. Pursue all those righteous things. Ask God questions. Seek him out. Knock. Knock to go into new places in God. God, you know, your word says this is for me and I haven't experienced this yet. So, God, I'm knocking. I'm asking. I'm seeking. I want this dimension of you in my life. I want these things in my life. And we got to just keep at it. Keep persistent at the things of God. Daily prayer. And the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. But prayer is one of our main ways that we have fellowship with God. Maybe that's an area that you need work on, of just really actually having fellowship with God. You know, it is really easy to pray every day and never talk to God. You know? I mean, it's easy when and you get busy and you know you got your schedule and things. So you go through your prayer and you have your little order of whatever pattern you use to pray. You know, however you do, and you go through all of it. And then when you get done, it's just like, I said all those words, but I have absolutely no awareness that I have touched God. You know, or that it's like I know by faith he heard me, but I really didn't listen to even if he answered good morning back. You know, we would just get caught up. So maybe it's daily prayer, but it's a key to cultivating the presence of God. Praise and worship. Let's look at this. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. This is just a cool situation of what happens in praise and worship. And I just trust that we're gonna get to this place because we're setting ourselves apart and we're developing in our time of praise and worship with God and the presence of God coming. Chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. This is familiar in the temple that they've just built. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. And just as I read that, you know, we Roxanne gave such a good thing about praise and worship of when she said that you can't worship God until he shows up, that it's we're praising and thanking him. That's what they were doing. They were just praising and thanking God. They were saying, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. For he's good and his mercy endures forever. For he is good and his mercy endures forever. It's like, tonight, I know you love me. I know you love me. Or God, you are here. You are here. Some Sundays it's, you are holy. You are holy. And we look at it as, okay, how many times are we going to have to say this? Well, till the cloud comes and everybody falls down and can't move. You know? I mean, I'm not saying we'll stay that long every week, but if we get good at it, it may not take so long. But just praising God, just everybody deciding, I am here to lift up God. I'm getting rid of all the stuff in my head, and I'm going to make room for God, and I'm just going to start thanking him and praising him. And he shows up, cultivating the presence of God. That is so good. Feeding on the Word and studying the Word. In John 15, let's go to John 15. That's another good scripture just to plant these in us. John 15, verses 4 and 5. Jesus is the Word. He says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You could place the Word of God in there. If you will abide in the Word, without the Word of God, we can't have the presence of God. If we don't fill up with the Word and abide in the Word, we're not going to have a strong presence of God in our lives to bear much fruit and to be able to do everything that God requires us to do. So we got to spend time in the Word. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, again, just familiar verse about the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to stay in the Word of God, feeding in the Word of God, making sure we read what the Word says and not trying to remember what the Word says, because every now and then we remember wrong. Or sometimes somebody quotes it wrong, and we remember what they quoted. And then we're trying to find it based on what they quoted, and it isn't there. And you try to think of all, well, okay, what word could it be that we could find it under? But we got to study and be diligent in the Word of God and rightly dividing it so that we know what it says from cover to cover so that we have everything straight. God keeps it all lined up for us. But we're full of the Word of God. We're full of the Word. Gary was talking today about having answers come up when people ask questions. When you're full of the Word of God, you've got an answer. When people are looking, you've got an answer. God brings those things up to us. If we give him the space, we give him the space in our hearts by filling up with the Word of God, and then it's there to pour out. It's there for his presence to bring out. Joshua 1, 6 through 8. We won't read that, but that's meditating on the Word. That's beyond just reading the Word and studying what it says. That means thinking about it, just thinking on it, imagining that Word, seeing what that looks like acted out in real life, what that was like when you read the things that took place of how that might be, putting yourself in that place. Meditating the Word of God. It's the same word as a cow chewing its cud. You just keep thinking about it, and then you just sort of let it rest a little bit. And then you think about it some more, and you meditate, you think, and you dwell on it. You mutter it. It actually means to mutter. You mumble it to yourself, and just keep that up. And as you chew on it, God squeezes out more revelation and understanding and wisdom to us, and we're filled up with more and more of God. And then let's just close with these verses, Philippians 4. Verses 4 through 8. These are all just ways to cultivate the presence of God in our life, to constantly be filling ourselves with God and his Word and his presence and drawing him to us and yielding to him. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4, says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. It's a good thing to rejoice in God. If you want to know more about rejoicing, we're studying joy in Sunday school. It'll be a good time to come. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know, we might have all these other things doing really good, but we got to control what we focus on, what we think on, because whatever gets your attention gets you. So keep our attention on the good things of God. Keep our focus on the things of God so that we can cultivate God's presence, that we can have the edge of God's presence everywhere we go, that we have God with us, manifest, ready to, I mean, he doesn't need to necessarily be seen right at the moment on the outside, but he's right there, that all we need to do is just open up and he can just flow out and meet whatever need might be there, or handle whatever situation, or maybe flow into our minds with the answer. Maybe it's a problem at work, or a situation needs dealt with, or an emergency situation at home, whatever they might be. But God's right there to fill us up with wisdom and direction of his Spirit, to be able to have dominion, to be able to manifest the kingdom, to be able to have this great outpouring for the world, that they can see and know for sure who God is. In all these times of trouble, all these times of testing, we have the edge to be able to overcome and to introduce the world to Jesus. Amen? Did you get something? Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, kobare shiti kabara soto. Bombriata tatandiri sala la kumbomanitiara sandara kumbombrietero. Seliere kambabatiara barara shukuro tondoro boliviete. Oli arabasoli arabatobria satata kabaratoro bosolo do bobriete. Beliare cobriete, cobrietore, 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 cobrieschi, titi di bosciote. Bola la camba babassita, tatatamba, cassandare bacula, la bamba batandare cabietta. Ora balle le bambiere bassondere cobriete. Ora balle le bamba bassandere cabriendere bassondere cobriete, di bossolo bore le bebiette. Ora balle le babiette. If you will pursue me, you will find me. If you will make room for me in your life, I will fill up every nook and cranny that you give me. I will come and fill you up with wisdom and understanding and power and might and glory. I will fill you up that when you go out into the world, you can't help but spill me onto people. You will spill me onto people. They'll be drawn to you because of my presence in you. They'll be drawn. They'll come. They'll ask questions. They'll say, what's different about you? What is that? And you'll be able to say, it's God. It's the presence of God in my life. Oh, pursue me. Pursue me, says the Lord. Come to me. Come to me and let me fill you up with my presence. Let me fill you to overflowing. Don't be satisfied with an occasional taste. Be satisfied with abundance. Be satisfied with continual rivers of life flowing through you, rivers of power, rivers of anointing, rivers of wisdom. Be content and satisfied with rivers flowing through you. Don't be satisfied with little. Don't be satisfied with little. Be satisfied with much, because I am the God of much. I have come to give you much. I have come to live in you much. I have come to let much of me be seen in you. Don't be satisfied with little. Don't be satisfied with a little bit of me. Come and get all of me. Get all of me. Get all of me, says the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, God. Glory to you, God. Father, you are so good. You are so good. Oh, God, we set ourselves to just draw close to you, God, and to seek you. Oh, Father, to get rid of the clutter in our lives inside of us, God, the clutter in our subconscious self-talk and the clutter in our minds and in our hearts, God, we want to be consumed with you. We want to be filled up with you, God. Oh, Father, help us to see that if we'll just let you fill us up, life will just be so much better. Life will be so much better. There may be hard times, but we'll overcome. We won't have to just be beat down and just recover from being beat down. We'll just overcome. We'll overcome, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for letting us overcome in you. Thank you for giving us your power, your Holy Spirit, your abilities, your wisdom. Oh, thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for you. Thank you for your presence, God. Oh, Father, we bless you. Thank you, Father, for helping us to step out into the fullness that you have prepared for us. God, we want to be put on display when you're ready, Father. We want to be put on display because we have your power in abundance in our lives. We have what the world needs. We want them to be able to see you in us, God. We want them to be able to experience your touch through us, God. Help us get to that place, Father. And we praise you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.